Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Becoming an Entrepreneur right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back my co-host, Patrick Maflin. He is with Marine Accounts and Mortgages for Yacht Crew. How are you?
Very well, Ria. Thanks.
We have been talking about all the steps that you need to get into becoming an entrepreneur or starting a business of your own. The next question that I would have for you is, how do we raise capital?
Let's reframe this question slightly. Firstly, ask yourself, do I need to raise capital? Is my business entirely contingent on me raising capital? Because there are businesses out there. The first business I launched, I needed minimal capital. My whole platform and philosophy behind business is to try not to raise business or launch businesses that are so capital rich and capital intensive, because there's a significantly higher risk profile with that. But if you are looking to go into a business that is contingent on raising of capital, then certainly in answer to your question, you've got to look quite acutely at how you're going to raise. I think with respect to the UK, the banks really don't have much of an appetite to lend to SMEs, so small to medium-sized enterprises. The government always spout off about, you know, banks being given all this capital and obviously funding that can be approved and released for SMEs. But yet when it actually comes to the crunch point of trying to acquire this capital from a bank, they make it so impossibly difficult for you. The first company I launched, under the advice of my business development manager, I decided, even though I didn't need it, to take out an overdraft. And I think that resulted in an hour interview for a £1,500 overdraft, which I've never subsequently used. So naturally, I thought, having traded for 5.5, 6 years at the time, never using this overdraft, an Australian fraudster, unfortunately, called Alan Bond, who had an America's Cup team that subsequently beat the Americans, taking the cup to Fremantle and Australia. Now, his idea with credit and capital was to borrow and pay back 3 days later. The banking systems then, obviously, it increases your credit rating. He tried to buy Channel 9 off Kerry Packer for about $3 billion. And when Kerry Packer put forensic accountants on, he realized that all $3 billion was loans. Now, obviously, I'm not asking any of you to commit any form of fraud, but the banking system is very contingent on you borrowing from them. So going back to this concept of having an overdraft, what I should have probably done is allowed the business to go into the overdraft and pay it back on a more regular basis. That would have improved my credit profile, but because I didn't do that, it resulted in me trying to get a loan from them some 6 years later, and they were offering at me at 10%, which is just cripplingly high for a loan that I didn't actually need. Funnily enough, through COVID, obviously the government gave out a lot of bounce back loans at 2.49%, which was good. So that was that kind of debt which we took. We had an appetite for debt in those days, and has actually benefited us on a long-term basis.
I don't have any debt, but I do operate my business and all my business expenses on a credit card. Would it be smart for me to run a bit of a deficit on that credit card and then pay portions of it back?
The smarter approach is not to prepay it, pay it off every month to zero it and not carry the debt. So you'll acquire, obviously, a significant uplift in your credit rating. You just got to be careful that you don't keep a residual balance on the credit card, because obviously the APR on credit cards is high. It's around 20%.
But that will also increase your credit score then.
There are obviously other funding sources outside of the banking world that you can look to tap into. There's obviously always the joke about bank of mum and dad, but you can look at naturally borrowing from friends and family.
Isn't that a little bit like politics and religion, though?
Yeah, 100%. I don't like borrowing from friends and family. You can't predict what's going to happen in their future. Family members might need that capital back, and then suddenly your business could be put into a position of almost insolvency because you've had to repay a loan that you weren't expecting to. It's better to go to the more conventional lending sources.
I came across an article the other day where a female founder found a specific bank designed for women that invested in women. Is that just in the States or is that all over the world?
Yeah, certainly within the UK, the government are giving, there'll be certain capital made available to maybe certain ethnic groups or a specific marketplace that you're operating in. If you have a good business idea, there's always going to be an appetite for venture capital VC. The VC in its very essence is dangerous, because if your idea is good, then you validated that in its very essence by the fact that you're now getting people snapping at your heels from the VC community. What they're going to want from you is shareholding. Now, the minute they've got shareholding, they've got a steer on the business and how it's going to grow, how it's going to be shaped. It's going to be a constant drive to derive profit immediately.
The fact does remain, when you look at the statistics, if you are a female looking for any sort of capital investment into your business, you are about 85% less chance than your male compatriot for investment.
There are three types of lies: lies, damn lies, and statistics is what I'll say to that. And I would be very interested to qualify that statement, because I think it's an equal playing field for male or female entrepreneurs. It's based on your idea and the validity of your concept, of your business. If you've got statistical evidence to support that argument, then I will humbly accept it.
I will make sure that I pull out all the graphs and charts and present them to you. Don't ever doubt my abilities to research.
I've always felt there's just a much greater degree of equality amongst the entrepreneurial community. Firstly, 95% of my employees are women. What I've always done is try to foster and breed success. It would be nice if that was more commonplace throughout the entrepreneurial world. It might not be. Certainly with the Pearls of Wisdom event that I'm talking at on Friday, there are some wonderful female entrepreneurs out there, and I'm always hoping and helping them to foster and enable their success.
Pearls of Wisdom has really proven to me that this may be the start of change, because it is a group of women that truly are coming together to try to support one another.
I'm really happy to be part, and I feel honored that I was even asked to talk.
So if anybody was looking to raise capital, what is their first steps then?
What you notice now, which is very different, is at the minute you register a company, you'll start to receive posts from different outfits offering you the ability to raise capital. You will get a lot of invitational offers for capital. You've got to really sift through these because of the interest rates that they want. And also as well, the arrangement fees associated with these loans can be high. The other way to raise capital is, if you own property, is to remortgage. You do have to be in the honourable position of actually having a mortgage in the first place to use as collateral. It has always been my primary means of leveraging and raising capital. When you make an agreement personally with an organisation, there's a cooling down period. You can void the contract in, say, 28 days. If you sign as a corporate entity, there is no cooling off period. So you're legally bound immediately to that contract the minute your pen touches that paper. And you've really got to tread carefully in this sphere. There are some loans out there that are actually worth having. If you want to make acquisitions moving forward, you need a reserve capital pool. The loan you take, you actually do need to repay it. There's this sort of delusion with some people. They think they can take a loan and then not repay it. The bounce back scheme is so, just highlights this problem so heavily, that so many people took them and have had no intention of ever repaying them. And now, funnily enough, although it was taken out by the corporate structure or the business, they've now transferred it over so the individual has to pay them back, which I think was a good move. But in summary, really, there are loans out there that will enable your business to grow. But just make sure you can pay it back.
It seems like it is quite a minefield.
I think I'll try and run more regular workshops in the future. Obviously, the Pearls event is wonderful. There's a lot of people that would maybe benefit from my advice or our advice and are not able to attend these events.
For sure. Patrick, I want to say thank you so much for your time. And if anybody has any questions for Patrick, we, of course, will make sure that your email address is down below this interview when it airs so that they can get in touch, right?
Superb. Thank you so much.
You've been watching another edition of Becoming an Entrepreneur right here on Yachting International Radio. The co-host is Patrick Maflin from Marine Accounts and Mortgages for Yacht Crew. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.